ABC News.
Okay, we're going to go to Indonesia now, which has a 9.3% death rate from coronavirus, and that makes it, on paper at least, the highest in the world. It comes after the death toll rose by a quarter at the weekend to 48 out of a total 514 confirmed. But that stark figure, that doesn't tell you the whole story, and you're about to hear why. Dr. Greta Nabs-Keller is Research Fellow, Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific at UQ Centre for Policy Futures.
It is impacted significantly on Indonesia, but I think the concern is more with the potential for it to be quite disastrous, a significant public health crisis which could generate an economic crisis. Now, I think that largely is due to Indonesia's population size, as you know, around 267 million people, and a fairly weak health system, public health system, relative to other countries, even in Southeast Asia. So the situation at the moment is we have, and this is of course probably changing at least by the day, if not by the hour, around 58 deaths now in total and around 790 confirmed cases of coronavirus. Now we know that will be significantly more because Indonesia has just acquired some of the testing kits to test more widely. But also we have a number of healthcare professionals passed away, sadly, doctors, particularly around six or seven doctors and several nurses. So I think if we kind of consider Indonesia's population, the limitations of the health system, and, you know, like World Bank figures, which suggest around over 20% of Indonesia's population is vulnerable, so just over the poverty line and vulnerable to shocks and disjunctures, we have a potentially very serious situation emerging in Indonesia.
Reports I've seen are that Indonesia has a 9.3% death rate from coronavirus, but that makes it the highest in the world. But do those figures really tell the whole story? Because as you said, so many people there haven't been tested.
Yeah, look, it's really hard to get a handle on it, and certainly I'm not a medical expert myself, but I think that, you know, how, you know, deaths can, you know, be attributed to COVID-19 or other causes, I think, is a factor because of the limited testing kits that are available. So I think the 9.3% figure, I think, is going to be relatively rubbery, Matthew.
Now, Indonesia's an archipelago. It's an archipelagic nation. How do you think this factors into their ability to contain the virus? Because there are many islands that can only be reached by boat, and I'd imagine that might make it easy to quarantine them. Would that be so?
Yeah, look, I think it's a potential advantage and disadvantage. I think we saw earlier the Indonesians that were evacuated from Wuhan back in January or early February. Now, they were quarantined on Indonesia's South China Sea, Natuna Island. So you're right. I think geography lends itself to be able to kind of shut down borders and quarantine more effectively. On the other hand, of course, because Indonesia's been so delayed in responding effectively, is that you have the issue of logistics. So what has happened now, Matthew, is that the Indonesian Armed Forces have become increasingly involved in coordination and logistics, and indeed they have their Hercules flying in to Indonesia's outer provinces, you know, like Papua, you know, like parts of Maluku and Sulawesi, to deliver, you know, much-needed personal protective equipment. So it's both an advantage and a disadvantage depending on the scale of the spread into other areas of Indonesia.
So what are the implications here for Australia?
Well, look, I think they're potentially serious because if you're old enough to remember Krismon and the Asian financial crisis, as it was called in Indonesia in 1998, we saw an economic crisis precipitated a political and security, a multidimensional crisis in Indonesia with reverberations for Indonesia's neighbours, and ultimately those changes and disjunctures in Indonesia led to Australia's biggest military intervention since the Vietnam War in East Timor, perhaps indirectly, but it certainly did. So you have a massive population, a neighbour close to Australia that could be in trouble here, Matthew. Now, the thing is, I think for Australia, We can look at how we are going to assist Indonesia. And I know there's a G20 leaders teleconference tonight. And of course, Indonesia and Australia are both members of the G20. And they're looking to how they can coordinate essential medical supplies and looking at you know, a more coordinated global response to the crisis.
That's Dr. Greta Knapps-Keller there, a research fellow, Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific at the UQ Centre for Policy Futures at the University of Queensland.
ABC News.